good day. Welcome to the Guardians of the Holy Grail with Mark Amaru Pinkham. This program will explore the secrets behind the Knights Templar and other secret mysteries of the world today. Now here's your host, Mark Amaru Pinkham.
Welcome to another edition of the Guardians of the Holy Grail, the program that's dedicated to diving deep to uncover and expose the truth behind the Knights Templar, the secret societies, and the ancient Holy Grail mysteries. The Guardians of the Holy Grail was created by me some time ago to clear up many of the popular misconceptions regarding the secret societies, the Holy Grail mysteries, and the bloodline from Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Through this show, I hope to set the record straight with hard facts from authors and researchers, as well as with testimonials from current and past members of the Knights Templar, Freemasonry, and other initiatic societies. I myself am a Knight Templar of the International Order of Gnostic Templars, which was specifically founded to revive the mystical rites and wisdom of the original Knights Templar that over the centuries have been either lost or ignored. You can learn a lot more, or a lot about us, our Gnostic Temple organization, and you can assign our mailing list by visiting our website, which is www.gnostictemplars.org. You can also sign up there for our 18-lesson Gnostic Templar e-course, and you can become an associate member if you'd like. Now, besides reviving the lost Templar wisdom, our long-term goal of the IOGT is to educate the world about the primal Gnostic alchemical path, which is and has been the essence of all religions and unites them as one. It is this path that the secret societies have sought to replace religious dogma with over the centuries and to eventually create a one-world spirituality. Today, if you have any questions for today's guests, feel free to call us on our toll-free line, which is 866-472-5795. Now, before we get into today's show, I just like to remind you all about the tour that I am leading or co-leading in September to southern France, the land which, well, it's becoming one of the major lands of mystery these days. My co-leader of that tour will be Nancy Safford, who's a high priestess of the Magdalene Mysteries and a Knights Templar like myself. Those of you who have been listening to our show know that there is a lot happening down there at the moment. A man named Ben Hammett that was on the show talked about discovering a mummy in a cave down there that he believes could very well be the mummy of Mary Magdalene. And so we're going to connect up with Ben when we're down there, as well as with Henry Lincoln, who's, many of you know, he's one of the co-authors of Holy Blood, Holy Grail. We're going to be visiting Rennes-le-Château, Montségur, the headquarters of the Cathars, St. Marie de la Mer, which is a place that it's said that Mary Magdalene and some of the disciples of Jesus landed after leaving the Holy Land, Montserrat, which is famous for having a lot of Knight Templar mysteries there, Holy Grail mysteries. It's in southern Spain. So it's going to be a life-changing tour, and it's going to coincide with the equinox and full moon. We're going to do a lot of ceremony. Going to be a lot happening on that tour, so you don't want to miss it. So if you think that your spirit is guiding you to go on this tour, visit this website and you can register for it and learn a lot more about it as well. The website is www.sacredsitesjourneys.com. So you run it together as one word, sacredsitesjourneys.com. So today we have a very special guest, those of you that know about 21st Century Radio have listened to this man in the past. This is Dr. Bob Hieronymus. And with Dr. Bob today, we're going to be discussing the founding of the USA by members of the secret societies. We'll be discussing who they were and what their vision was for our country. We'll also be discussing the origin of the seal of the U.S. and the meaning behind its symbology. Now, those of you that don't know Dr. Bob Hieronymus, he's got quite a resume. In 1969, he founded OHM, A-U-M, which was the first state-approved school of esoteric studies in our country. And it was one of the first to grant certificates in the occult sciences, mystic arts, and metaphysics. Dr. Bob received his PhD from Saybrook Graduate School in 1981 for his doctoral thesis, which was entitled An Historic Analysis of the Reverse of the American Great Seal and Its Relationship to the Ideology of Humanistic Psychology. Dr. Bob's research on the Great Seal has been used in the speeches, literature, and libraries of the White House, the State Department, the Department of Interior. And Inner Traditions published a popular version of Dr. Bob's doctoral thesis in 1989. You might be familiar with it. Called America's Secret Destiny, Spiritual Vision and the Founding of a Nation. This book was revived and expanded in 2006 under the title Founding Fathers, Secret Societies, Freemasons, Illuminati, Rosicrucians, and the Decoding of the Great Seal. As a result of his book, Dr. Bob's been featured on documentaries on National Geographic Channel, Discovery, History Channel. Secrets of the Dollar Bill has been repeated dozens of times on the History Channel, so you might be familiar with that particular documentary. His book, Founding Fathers, has been, and Secret Societies have been translated in German, French, Russian, and Spanish. So the word's getting out. Now, in 2008, Dr. Bob released his latest book, United Symbolism of America, Deciphering Hidden Meanings in America's Most Familiar Art, Architecture, and Logos, which is a page-turning account of how the Statue of Liberty, the Liberty Bell, the flag, the eagle, the Great Seal, in Washington, D.C., became American icons. Bob's work was featured in a two-hour special on the Discovery Channel called Secret America, as well as a special on the History Channel called Secrets of the Founding Fathers. Now, in 1988, Bob launched 21st Century Radio on over 100 stations nationwide on the American Radio Network. And his show features all kinds of provocative and esoteric subject matter. And I've been on his show two or three times, and so I consider this as payback. So welcome, Dr. Bob. Welcome to the Gardens of Holy Grail.
Well, what a privilege to come on your show, Mark. Thank you. Thank you very much for asking me. You know, there has been so much mis- and disinformation about secret societies. It was such a great pleasure to hear about the Gnostic Templars and what you folks are doing, especially this trip that you're going on in September. It seems extraordinary because, you see, you know, this is the real work of moving towards, well, I would refer to as one people, one planet, or you refer to as one world spirituality, because that's where we're headed. But unfortunately, the kind of work that I've been forced to do over the last 4 or 5 years, and I mean forced by really meaning that, was to rework and to address the fundamentalists on their great hatred for anything dealing with any secret society, their total misunderstanding of it, and their heart belief that all of these symbols that we're referring to, whether they be on the Statue of Liberty, the Liberty Bell, the Great Seal of the United States, many of them they link to Satanism, which is pathetic. It's just really stupid.
Well, you won't get any argument from me on that, Dr. Bob.
Well, I know, because this is a, you know, you're working on a level that's higher in purpose. in meaning and importance than the kind of work I've been forced to do, because I couldn't stand seeing people talking about the Statue of Liberty as being literally of the devil, in regards to, especially in their reference to anything dealing with female deities as being satanic, is preposterous. The Masonic group that I am involved with, or had been, is a co-Masonic group, because it's my belief that, especially in ritual, the coming together of men and women is really many steps ahead of just having it a masculine or a feminine view. It's this balance that we're all headed for that is really key to our future. And boy, we got a kind of a tough future. And I'm a bit embarrassed in saying this, because it just seems that our nation has kind of lost its way over the past 8 years. And by the time we've woken up from that horrible dream that everything was one conspiracy after another, we are in a situation in which we are 8 years behind our being able to manage our environmental ecological problems, which are far more severe than we've ever been told. I remember with my friends back in, I refer to it as the old days, back in the early 70s, my good friends were Christopher Bird and Peter Tompkins. Now, Christopher co-wrote a book on the secret life of plants with Peter, and then Secrets of the Soil, and then The Divining Hand. And then from them, you know, these were members of what was the OSS and then later CIA. They were providing me documents in the 70s that the CIA knew all about this problem that we're facing with our environment today. And it was determined at that time, in about 1974-75, that they felt that the American people really should not know this, because it would definitely interfere with their lifestyle. As if that was the most important thing in the world, Mark. And what they meant was our ability to go out there and buy cars, buy this, and buy that. And our literally putting us in a situation that we focus totally on the physical world, forgetting about the more important part of our being, the immortal aspect of our being.
Well, I totally agree. Well, I think this is a good time to ask you, Dr. Bob, what would you say was the original intention of the founding fathers when they founded the United States? What was its original secret destiny, as you call it?
Well, it dealt a lot with human beings being in control of their destiny. That is, human beings becoming more involved in understanding what humans really are and what consciousness is. The founding fathers of our country were greatly influenced. I mean, we had a group of founding fathers that was just so extraordinary. A Franklin, a Jefferson, a Washington, an Adams, and Paine, and all of these individuals, they borrowed and took their information from a number of different sources, but they were part of what was called the Age of Enlightenment. And the Age of Enlightenment was basically, one of its foundations is the separation of church and state, because that's where we ran into so many problems for so many millennia, in the sense that the church was in control of what you and I, well, I'm sure we were incarnated then, learned or knew or understood about the rest of the world. Science was not their strength. As a matter of fact, science, according to those traditions before the Age of Enlightenment, science could easily be you could be put to death for the things you were discovering. And of course, we all know this history. We've watched what Galileo went through and others, Tycho Brahe, et cetera. And it really prevented us from gaining real knowledge and wisdom about what human beings really were and what was the importance of our freedoms, learning about our freedoms. And the founding of America literally was based upon balancing the spiritual dimension with the physical dimension. And we have one incredible symbol that tells that entire story that has been so maligned and misunderstood by the fundamentalists, who basically say this is the most satanic symbol of all, and that is the pyramid and the eye in the triangle. And this is mainly because of the fundamentalist view that all secret societies are satanic, that any organization such as Freemasonry, the Rosicrucians, or the Knights Templars, or any of these individuals, are all based on the love of the physical world, the material world, and of course, we are being supposedly duped by the devil. Now, for the Founding Fathers to come out and speak out against this, it was a mighty tough thing to do. They succeeded mainly because of the leadership that we had. These were statesmen. And our statesmen, every one of them, being human, made some serious mistakes in their life, and that's the reason why we come back time and time again, as Benjamin Franklin reminded us, to correct and amend the addition that we just passed on. That is, after we die, we then need to return to come back and correct all of the problems that we created, and for us to go on our major journey on into spirit. Now, symbols, especially when you take the eye and the triangle and the pyramid, can easily be misunderstood, because most people, when they first see the eye and the triangle, just like I did, the way I bumped into this, even studying the American history, was being an artist. I was sitting in a cold water bath, because in the summer times, our little hot ovens in the city were so hot, certainly no one had air conditioning. We couldn't even afford a fan, let alone that. So we sat in cold water for many hours, and I was looking at the last dollar bill that I had, and I was thinking about what I was going to go buy and eating. At that time, I was what you might refer to as an agnostic, feeling that we really couldn't know very much about the deity, so why bother? And then I saw this pyramid in the eye and the triangle, and it changed my life, Mark. I thought to myself, this doesn't seem American to me. I don't recall seeing any eyes and triangles or pyramids hanging out across the United States. What does this mean? Of course, I went to the State Department. 6 months later, they answered me in a letter which didn't mention the reverse of the Great Seal, because I wanted to know what those things meant. 3 months after that, they did send me a photograph, a black and white photograph of the pyramid in the eye and the triangle, but they had no interpretation, and I was in one of those situations then that, you mean our State Department doesn't know what this symbol means? There's a lot of controversy about it in those particular days. However, fortunately, there were other references that were not historically accurate, but esoterically, they gave us meaning and purpose and interpretations. And, of course, that's the work of Paul Foster Case and the other individuals, Manly Palmer Hall, where they were strong on meaning, but they were not strong on history. In other words, historical analysis of the Great Seal was inaccurate, and that was because the State Department, until 1978, did not come out and reveal what it knew about the history of the Great Seal in its most accurate way. And, I mean, 1978 is not that long ago, Mark, so that almost everybody else that was using references before 1978 made historical errors, but they didn't know they made historical errors. They did not realize that the 500-and-some page book, The Eagle and the Shield, resolved many of those historical issues, which Manly Palmer Hall didn't know about, Paul Foster Case did not know about, Theodore Helene or Corinne Helene or any of those individuals that were, in my opinion, very advanced human beings. So when it came to understanding the Great Seal of the United States, if the State Department didn't really tell us until 1978, then all of those that have commented on it in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s and 70s, all the way to 70, had their history wrong, And if you start on a wrong foundation of inaccuracy, you can cause a great deal of harm, and it did. Because I was hearing stories like this, Mark. I was hearing stories that, and read them, of course, that 50 or 51 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were Freemasons. Now, if that were true, one could easily say, well, what in the world? I mean, you know, this is a Freemasonic country. I mean, that's a large percentage of your founding fathers. They also made other claims, such as the reverse of the Great Seal, the Pyramid, the Eye, and the Triangle, were designed by Freemasons, within a certain level of interpretation. On these two accounts, they were dead wrong. Now, I really did believe Paul Foster Case, and especially Manly Palmer Hall. I corresponded with Manly Palmer Hall for years, trying to get to the bottom of this serious problem, because I noticed that historically he was wrong in certain areas. Now, to most people, you know, that might not be so important, but the fact is, and here is the fact, or facts, only 9 of the founding fathers were members of Freemasonry. That's a big difference from 50. But that's still a lot. That's still a good number of them. But that was a huge error. And I'm very embarrassed by repeating that error, especially to people that I was working with back in 68 and 69, and one of them was Jimi Hendrix. Because Jimi Hendrix had a great fascination for the eye and the triangle and the pyramid, and when we would get together and compare our notes, not just our notes, our drawing books or journals, I would quote him what Manly Palmer Hall and others had said. And we did believe 50 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. Then we also believed that in regards to the Great Seal's actual design, that the first committee, there were 3 committees, but the first committee was Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and John Adams. Now, that is one hell of a committee of extremely advanced souls, in my opinion. And their ideas, 2 of them, Jefferson and Franklin, went to the Bible for their ideas on the Great Seal, and John Adams went to Greek mythology. None of their ideas were used. So where Manly Palmer Hall and everybody else was saying, look, there's Benjamin Franklin sitting on this committee. There's George Washington that put that committee together. Those 2 are Freemasons. There is a lot of talk about Thomas Jefferson being a member of Freemasonry or the Rosicrucian or some such secret society. John Adams certainly was never a member of any secret society. He makes that very plain and clear. But the truth is, Thomas Jefferson was not a member of any secret society. Neither was John Adams. So 2 of the 3 members of that committee were not Freemasons. It took 6 years, 4 years after that committee, for 2 individuals to come forth, William Barton and Charles Thompson. These were the 2 individuals that gave us the final designs of the Great Seal. Were they members of any secret society? No. So, historically, when you repeat inaccuracies in history for a long period of time, it really comes back to bite you, because the fundamentalists had been watching this, and they were basically saying, hey, wait a second. Freemasonry is satanic. It's the kind of thing that we need to get rid of. Look at all these founding fathers, 50 of them signing the Declaration of Independence. Do we have a satanic nation? Were they trying to give birth to a satanic nation? Of course they weren't. They weren't, besides the very idea that 50 of the 56 was untrue to begin with. The fact that our Great Seal, the Pyramid, the Iron Triangle, was not designed by any Freemasons, such as William Barton or Charles Thompson, which were not, also strongly indicates to the fundamentalists that here you go again. Boy, these guys are stuffing a symbol down our throat that is purely satanic. And it is destroying and will destroy our nation if this continues. And if you go to the Internet today, you will find scores and scores of websites that are dealing with this and saying the same things. It's very unfortunate, especially when you get to the situation with the dollar bill. The dollar bill was changed in 1935. It was altered to put the pyramid and the eye and the triangle on it. And FDR, who wanted to see this done, was a Freemason. The individual that brought forth this idea, Henry Asgard Wallace, Secretary of Agriculture, later on Vice President of the United States, he also was a Freemason. The Secretary of the Treasury, Morgenthau, he was a Freemason. And the person that they selected to design or put this...
like to interject something in relation to what he was talking about. The symbol of the pyramid surmounted by the eye is actually an extremely, extremely ancient symbol. And our guest last week, Klaus Donner, actually brought this to my attention because he'd actually seen versions of it in the collection of artifacts that was owned by a man or a priest called Father Crespi in Ecuador. And there's at least two or three versions of this symbol with the eye and a pyramid with actually 13 courses to that pyramid, just like on the Great Seal of the United States. And these artifacts were found in caves and tunnels underneath Ecuador and then brought to Father Crespi for his collection. And so we don't know exactly how old they are. It's been judged that they're many thousands of years old. But they also apparently showed up amongst artifacts that seem to definitely be associated with the Sumerian and Babylonian civilization. So if nothing else, they were... that symbol was around as early as Sumerian Babylonia, which to some people is the most ancient of all civilizations on the planet. So essentially, it's been around since day one. So it's obviously not a new symbol. It was not at the creation of the Freemasons. It's something that's been around for many, many thousands of years. So I think that we'll take a short break now. We'll be right back.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information. Knowledge, bringing humanity closer to truth.
Okay, we're back again, and Dr. Bob has rejoined us. I wanted to mention one thing before we get back into this discussion, and this idea that the dark forces, the devil, whatever, is associated with secret societies generally came about because the alchemy that the secret societies have been involved with at day one is not understood by fundamentalists. And when you're involved with alchemy, you're involved with some very destructive forces, but these are the forces of transformation. These are the forces that destroy those things within you that keep you from knowing your divine nature. And it's these forces that have been called the devil by Western fundamentalist religions because they don't understand those forces. And in the East, they're well understood. In the yoga traditions of India, it's traditional for the yogis to bow down to the gods and goddesses of destruction on a daily basis because it's those gods and goddesses that take them to full enlightenment. And only if you're on the path of gnosis and alchemy can you truly understand those forces. So I just wanted to clarify that before we resume our discussion with Dr. Bob. And so if you would like to come back on, Dr. Bob, and summarize what you've been talking about. We can go from there.
Well, that was well put, especially in regards to the levels of interpretation. There are multiple levels of meaning and interpretation. Fundamentalists only accept one. The journey got one. And that course, of course, and since they seem to always take the negative when it comes to symbols because they have fear of symbols, they believe that someone's hiding something from them. And it's not that it's being hidden from them. It's our discovery of it, which is really our journey. And this is one of the things that it's so good to hear in regards to your going, the trip that you're going to go to the south of France, because some extraordinary things have been going on there for millenniums, let's put it that way. So in order to understand and to prevent further misunderstandings, especially with the fundamentalists, was the reason why the last book on 2008 on the United Symbolism of America, which I was shocked to find out that most people did not know that maybe 30 to 35% of America falls into that little clique of you got one interpretation and that's it. There's only one way to go. And of course, would not accept anything that was just about symbols and archetypes because they believe that all of that is just befuddling the mind, that is, and preventing them from getting to heaven, which and being one of the 144,000 that's going to exist afterwards. So I think the real problem has been that piece of information. If you want to give individuals a helping hand in destroying you, give them misinformation and history that's inaccurate. And unfortunately, that has been what has been functioning since 1935, because as soon as that symbol, the reverse of the Great Seal, was placed on the back of the $1 bill, that's when the Republicans came out and literally attempted everything they could to destroy our president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Does that sound familiar? What's going on today? When we finally get a statesman who is trying to extricate ourselves from one of the worst disasters on our planet for the past 8 years, that these individuals who are opposing him and basically say, we don't want him to succeed. If we are really, I understood that if we were Americans, the freedom of religion was really key. The separation of church and state is really key to our freedom. That's what Franklin and Jefferson especially fought for and made understood to the rest of America that a long, long time ago, obviously. And I'm afraid that if these individuals, such as the fundamentalists, would continue doing this, then little by little, that 35% grows into 40, 45, 50, to the point where in our future election, they may be in such a situation that they may want to alter certain things within our Constitution. And the separation of church and state is one of the things that I know they desperately want to do. They do not want that to go through. They do not want that to be. They want this to be what they refer to as a Christian nation. This was never a Christian nation. Yes, there were many Christians that came together to put this nation together, but it was not founded on Christianity. We were given freedom of religion. And because of that freedom of religion and separation of church and state, in my opinion, it is truly un-American to force that upon any American. And I think that that's something that is going to be quite a challenge in the years to come, because the Rush Limbaughs of the world, who their mega influence on the Republican administrations in the past and would like to continue in the future, is just not really going to be able to accept the kind of things that I'm talking about. This kind of freedom to them is something that borders on what they refer to as socialism. And their view of socialism is that it kills. As a matter of fact, during this last election, we saw in the state of Maryland a whole group of signs coming up out there in the suburbs that socialism kills. It was unbelievable to me to see that kind of thinking going on in the wealthier areas of the state of Maryland. That certainly disturbed me a great deal, because if the wealthier people are in support of that, then it has much greater chance of gaining power within the years to come, over the next several years that we're going to be struggling with, in order to reset our nation. Because really, as I know you're well aware of, the problems of our environmental problems are so severe that we're still not being told. And as I mentioned earlier, the information was known. They called it not just necessarily, they didn't call it just global warming. There was a mixture of global cooling along with global warming, which would put us in chaos in the sense that it would eliminate our growing seasons. And when we take a look at Canada today, Canada has lost another portion of its growing season. And in years to come, it may not be able to grow any of its food. That's the kind of problems that we're facing with this great change in our weather patterns. Areas of our country that get much hotter, and there are other areas that get much colder. And that imbalance, I think, has a lot to do with the way we think and act. And I don't just mean the pollutants on the planet. I mean thought pollution. The inability for us to be able to control our emotions and that kind of thing add to this particular severe problem. So I'm hoping that in time, Europe and the rest of the world will begin to teach this country what it should have been doing years ago. And it's I'm very sad to say that, obviously, because this nation was destined literally to lead us into a world filled with republics. That is, what are republics? They are representative forms of government. And the Native Americans, the League of the Iroquois, and the Cherokee, etc., but especially the League of the Iroquois, most historians are not aware that it was the League of the Iroquois that instructed our founding fathers in representative forms of government. They found the League of the Iroquois, five and later six tribes, put together anywhere from about 1100 to 1400, a republic in which the women literally were the individuals that were in control of the government, and women controlled not just the who got voted in as chiefs now, but literally all the physical things involved. And they had a balance, and the founding fathers wanted to know how they obtained that kind of insight and balance. Unfortunately, the League of the Iroquois, their chiefs, when they would come into Congress, and we have drawings of them. We know that they were lecturing Washington, Franklin, and all of Congress on this. They said to us, basically, there are two things we must do. One, to eliminate slavery. If we had slavery in the United States, in America, if we sanctioned slavery, our freedoms would be short-lived, and we would run into very serious problems later on. Also, they said our imbalance of not allowing women equality was certainly going to be the second major problem. Now, we in America today, hopefully, well, we are correcting part of that imbalance in the sense of making sure that women become more and more involved, and that the divine feminine nature is extremely important, especially in the years to come, up to 2012 and beyond. And yes, of course, we're still going to be hanging around here around 2012, 14, 15, whatever. You know, we're certainly going to be challenged by these weather problems, which, as we can see, if we have problems in Haiti, if we have problems in Chile, and then there's problems in Portugal, those three different areas which we did have problems in, we cannot really handle more than one or two problems on the planet like that at a time. And yet, there are areas in which whole areas may collapse simultaneously. If that happens, then we're in very, very severe trouble because, you know, what we should be doing right now, literally, is becoming more, well, in control of our own lives rather than having our government part of those lives.
Well, what I'd like to comment on what you're talking about, Dr. Bob. I think that the founding fathers, their vision was a land of evolution, that collectively as a people, as a nation, we would evolve to higher levels of consciousness and awareness. And so what is the symbol that they gave us, which was the pyramid with surmounted by the eye? The pyramid is that symbol of evolution. As opposed to the square or the cube, which is the symbol of non-evolution or de-evolution. Mm-hmm. And I understand also that the phoenix may have been the original bird, at least chosen by some of the founding fathers, which is the symbol of alchemy, the symbol of transformation, the symbol of evolution. I believe that what happened was that there were a lot of founding fathers who were deeply interested in alchemy and evolution and gnosis. However, a good percentage, or perhaps even a larger percentage of them, they were Christians. And so they founded the country on a foundation of Christianity, which is patriarchy, which is directly opposed to that evolution that they want to create. The patriarchy likes the status quo. It does not want to move. It doesn't want to evolve. It wants to stay with tradition and dogma. It does not want to move to the next level. And this is why Christians are all freaked out and in fear and worried about everything, because they are so attached to that dogma. They're not in a position where they can allow themselves to evolve. So what we've lost in this country is that original vision to evolve to higher levels of awareness. And instead, we have this patriarchal dogma that doesn't allow us to evolve. So this is how I look at it.
Very well put. I don't think I could have put it any better than that, Mark. The pyramid, the eye, and the triangle is a symbol for transformation. When you go back to its archetypal components, the pyramid is the man-made mountain. The eye in a triangle is the solar disk. And what you have is a combination of the mother principle, of the mound, of the breast, of the female, and the eye in the triangle, or the sun, is basically the symbol of the solar symbol, male, energy that goes out rather than that which is reflected in. And it's a balance. It is the completion of this mountain or this pyramid is really the key here, because that is what alchemy is, in my opinion, in regards to bringing spirit and matter together, unifying them so that you can transform and elevate your consciousness and awareness, because that's a natural process when you bring this balance into being. And but unfortunately, as you say, there's so much fear about that balance, especially if it pulls us away from the patriarchy. And there are a good many. Unfortunately, if we had a vote out there, we might lose that vote from the standpoint of there being so many more people now, even though that they believe that the divine feminine is key, we're still far in the minority in regards to that, in regards to the rest of our country. Not necessarily the rest of the world, though. I think what we're doing over a period of time is, as you say, we are evolving towards a higher state of being. But unfortunately, during that time that we're evolving towards it, the physical planet itself is also transforming. And that might mean that we'll need to focus on a refocusing on our balance of our inner nature, because it's my opinion, and I think this is not a new opinion. Everything I'm saying is not new. Everything I'm saying, the ancients said a long time ago, and that is, it is imbalance of the male-female principle.
Totally.
That become one.
Well, right? I think that you've hit the nail on the head, so to speak, Dr. Bob. I believe that the biggest problem here is ignoring any degenerating of the female principle, because the Gnostic alchemical sects or traditions have always been part of the goddess tradition, whereas the Orthodox patriarchal religions have been part of the god tradition. Now, so if you ignore the goddess, you are ignoring evolution. You have to bring her in. It's her energy, which in the East they call the Kundalini or the Holy Spirit or whatever you want to call it. It's her energy that transforms. So if you ignore her, you are ignoring evolution, and I believe this is what has happened around the planet for the last 2,000 years. We have ignored her, and thus we have ignored our own evolution.
And I think that was one of the reasons, because of our ignorance there, of that, when we decided to use the oceans the way we thought they should be used, or any river, any stream, any water, the physical land, we've abused it all to the point
right.
where, if you remember the 50s when we were told over and over again, hey, look, don't too worry too much about the problem with our food and the chemicals in it and that kind of thing, because if we ever have a problem about food, we just go to the ocean. Well, we eat out of the ocean. So forget about all your problems concerning all the chemicals and this and that and these and those. But you can't do that now. We've poisoned the oceans. We've poisoned the things that we would eat coming from them. So who's going to be held responsible for that kind of thing? And most Americans aren't aware of that. You know, you can't buy a can of tuna without some trepidation now. And why, you know, we have the problem, of course, with mercury in it, and then you have the same situation within the medical institutions today. They're still in dentistry. They still think mercury's okay. To put mercury in your body is a poison. There's no doubt about it. So corporate structure, the corporate masculine patriarch representation of the control of the status quo has put itself in a situation where it cannot be voted out. We can't hold them responsible for the damage that they've done. And this is not going to set well in the years to come with most mainstream humans, because they're going to need to eat, and they're going to need to drink water, and they're going to need a place to live. And all of those things aren't going to be put in jeopardy or out of the question in the future, the safety of being in our environment. And I think that if we had not, the divine feminine is so focused on the importance of balance that, in my opinion, we would, if we would have had that kind of majority going when Rachel Carson was around. Look what they did to Rachel Carson. She told us the truth as to what was going on. They not only condemned her, but prevented her from her publishing, from preventing her from having any type of a normal life, and destroying her peace of mind, literally destroying her. That's quite a heroine. But she stood up to them, and she was right, but unfortunately, that's not how the history books are beginning to report it, because guess who controls the history books? You know, it's the same kind of a problem from that standpoint.
Hey. Well, when you separate yourself from the goddess, you separate yourself from the planet Earth, the Mother Earth, to begin with, and you also separate yourself from your own heart, from your own feeling, from your own compassion, and you can sit by and watch things, life forms, plants, animals being destroyed around you, and all this rivers and oceans and streams being polluted, and it won't affect you, won't touch you, and that's what's happened. You know, we've gotten so left brain, so intellectual, that we don't feel anymore. There's no heart. There's no love. There's no love for ourselves. No love for each other. There's no love for the planet anymore.
Well put, Mark. Well put. That's exactly, you know, you have a wonderful talent, and you've always had a wonderful talent and ability of getting right to specifically to the point of this problem. And that is really crucial. It's really crucial. So, you know, when we're trying to look out for our children and the future of our planet, we all know that if we can't find peace within, it's going to be very hard to find peace without, or create peace without. And without, just as you said, without the Kundalini force, that transformational force which takes us literally out of the physical and puts us into much higher elevations of consciousness and other levels of the world that most people only dream about or think about, that is one terrible loss. To eliminate that, because as we all know, most of us, well, I'm in a physical body that's mainly male, but DNA-wise, I'm probably like 51% along the male aspect, and 49% female. My next lifetime, I'm sure, I'm probably going to come back as a woman, and that'll be 51% feminine and 49% masculine. It's that very small one percentage that makes a difference in regards to how we are able to work and work and cooperate with one another, because we're all male and female. It depends upon of our state of awareness as to which dominates at certain times, and so therefore saying that the divine feminine, according to my God, so many fundamentalists that I don't want to mention their name because I don't want to give them any power, is one of the more tragic aspects of it that we've come face to face with. And it's only because of the kind of radio show that you're doing today and the kind of work that you do, and when you go to especially France, I mean, you know, yeah, France is a very sacred area, very sacred energies in that particular area. Especially my friend Chris Bird just loved it there. As a matter of fact, he would send me back every every postcard of every sacred area in France, because he truly felt that there it was so special that it preserved something that the rest of the world, not the rest of the world, but much of the world has forgotten. Did you all, by the way, do you mind, I hope you don't mind my asking you about this situation when you're going there. Have you always had an interest in that particular area, Mark?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say always, but I think that since the publication of Holy Blood, Holy Grail, mm-hmm. certainly that has attracted my interest. I'm sure you're aware of the legend of Baron de Saunier, the Paris priest of Rennes Le Chateau, who supposedly uncovered records that document the marriage of Jesus and Mary and their descendants.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always been associated with the goddess tradition. In fact, right in the center of it, you may be aware of this too, is a gigantic five-pointed star that, made by the landmarks there in the Languedoc, which is the symbol of the goddess. And, of course, that's where the Cathars existed. It's where all the Gnostic alchemical sects have existed since day one. It's these kind of places of the goddess tradition that have been ignored, that have been decimated, that have been destroyed, as the Inquisition did to the Cathars during their time, that are now coming back into mass consciousness. These are the areas that need to be revived, regenerated, and given respect to. Where we are right now is there's a total imbalance of the male female patriarchy matriarchy. I believe that there needs to be a complete balance for us to move into the new era. But before there can be a balance, we have got to first revive the goddess principle, which has been destroyed, has been denigrated, has been made inferior. And so first we have to activate these areas of the old goddess tradition in order to reach parity with the god power, the god tradition. And when they finally come together as balanced partners, then I think we can start to see a new age start to manifest.
Amen. That's how I see it. Not that I'm right. It just seems reasonable that first, you know, these centers need to be protected. They need to be understood, and they need to grow and become healthy again before we can expect the great benefits of balance. Because it's not an easy thing to accomplish, especially when we're now looking at a world in which some people might even in the United States, might not even be able to afford water. Without water, you're just going to have to wrap up life on this particular planet, because we're water bodies. It's absolutely necessary to have water, clean water, washing out each and every cell within our bodies daily in order to help us evolve. But, you know, what you have just mentioned is just such a great quest. It is a big Q quest. The kind of quests that I've been working on are much smaller. I can only, in the limited work that I do, I've tried to correct where some of this thinking went wrong, and then point people into the direction of how, who, and why all of these things have coming about. And it has a lot to do with the coming of I've never seen more books on alchemy in all my life, and I am so happy to see this. This is really going to change things tremendously from that standpoint.
Well, I think that's been the foundation of the secret societies. They were formed in order to preserve that ancient Gnostic alchemical tradition. And I know it's a little bit late in the game, but I do want to invite you and your brother Freemasons come over to Italy. We have on April 17th, we're having an international world conference of all the secret societies. We're coming together in order to identify what we're about, what we've been about since the very beginning, which is to be the guardians of this Gnostic alchemical path. And this was going to be what was going to unite the world together. All these different movements of the New World Order has at its foundation this Gnostic alchemical path, because this is at the root of all religion. If you cut away the dogma, this is what you've got. And it's the dogma that's separating us around the planet right now. So what we're going to do is talk about how we can educate the world about what we really are about, and educate the world about this primal Gnostic alchemical path that's a root of all spiritual evolution. And I believe that, you know, as guardians of this path, it is our time now to take it out into the world, to share it, to tell people what this is all about. And so I'm right now I'm officially welcoming you and inviting you to this. I know, like I said, it's a little bit late in the game, I realize. But we will also be recording a DVD set and afterwards getting the information out that way after the conference. But we've got, you know, grand priors and grandmasters from many, many different initiatic societies all over Europe and many, many Freemasons. And we'll probably have 200 to 300 people that will be part of this thing. It's co-sponsored by the Grand Chancellor of OSMTH, the temple organization in Italy, along with us, the IOGT. So I'm kind of excited about this. The last time that there was a conference of this nature was about 200 years ago, about 1785 in Paris. I think it's history in the making, you know. It really is. And to come back together as a united force on the planet, it's just unlimited what we can potentially do together now.
Well, I think that's the kind of thing that could change the planet much more rapidly than most people think, because of the individuals that are involved in self-transformation and transformation of the planet at the same time, are, in my opinion, are much more powerful in a group than they are just individually. We all know that, but their power is considered much greater than, more than doubles, triples, quintuples. I mean, it doesn't take too many self-transformed individual souls with that kind of goal in mind to make some serious and positive headway in being able to overcome these problems of communicating and working with one another, because self-transformation is what everyone on the planet is really all about, and eventually they'll get there if they're allowed to. And I would imagine you're probably going to be safer doing that there than if you would do it somewhere in the southwestern part of the United States.
Well, that's for sure. That's for sure, yeah. But I think that a lot of Freemasons, they simply lost their way. They don't realize that their tradition and those levels in their tradition are based on alchemy, and they're based on human evolution, the 33 degrees, the 13 degrees. I mean, those are numbers of alchemy. Those are the numbers leading to perfection. But you can go through the 32 degrees of Scottish Rite Freemasonry in a matter of months, you know?
Yeah, I know.
it's become a joke. It's simply a men's club, and that's all there is to it. One of the goals of this conference is to reinstill in Freemasonry its original intent, what it was originally about, which is alchemy, which is true evolutionary transformation.
Well, you know, are you going to say something I don't agree with here? You got.
Well, it better happen soon, because we're almost out of time here.
Oh, okay. Well, the most important thing is I am so pleased to know that you are so dedicated in doing this great work, because it is a capital G there, whereas my work has by and large been a small G. And it's good to know that having been thrown in the trenches for the last 6 years, hassling with the individuals who would like to destroy the Statue of Liberty, and all, you know, the Liberty Bell. Who would ever think that the Liberty Bell could be satanic, you know? But they connect it to Baal, B-A-A-L. They totally misunderstand Baal to begin with. But as far as they're concerned, that's proof positive that all of the symbols that the Founding Fathers chose really were secret, satanic, devil-worshipping symbols. It's dead wrong. They cannot prove any of that. They can't even get near to proving it. But I'm very fearful of how they have been able to convince so many young people that this is what they're saying is true. That's going to make it much more difficult. And obviously, the thing of spiritual growth is really what we need to focus on in order for us to have the kind of inner strength to make sure that we are just and fair in our own living. And that's really the key issue in regards to this balance of, I think when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, all about the war of the sexes. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And how much the media played that up on every radio show, et cetera. And I love old-time radio, but that's one of the things that was terribly annoying, in which it was the men always relating that the women were stupid, and the women were saying basically that the men literally didn't know this from that. And that's the kind of stuff that was being put out on the airwaves for a couple of decades there. Same symbolism that you find in having the, say, for instance, what I consider to be one of the most sacred symbols, and that is the caduceus. And the story that caduceus has of balancing the energies, if you want to look at a kundalini, balance into Ida, the pangmala, and so that the energy goes up the shashuna, and all of that, I think, is really, really the kind of thing that I find inspirational. And yet, when I look at the AMA, who uses that symbol and interprets it the way it wants to, you can begin to see, in a very small way, of course, you can begin to see just how such important symbols are diminished by certain individuals, especially when it gets into healthcare, because we got some serious problems in regards to that, as if we didn't know that, right? You didn't know that, did you?
Oh, no, not at all. but I do want to mention that, yes, the children are our future, and I'm not so concerned about them being brainwashed as they might have been 100 years ago, because all the information is at your fingertips these days. If you just had one single book and you just had one single place you went to every Sunday, which was church, you could easily get brainwashed. But I don't see that happening or being so much of a possibility these days. But I do believe that the younger children are the ones that we want to reach out to. We want to teach the fundamentals of the Gnostic alchemical path, the primal path, because that is the future of this earth. If there is going to be a one-world civilization, that is going to be its foundation, I believe, because that unites all religions. And if you cut away the dogma, that's what you've got. That's what unites everyone together. So I think that's one thing that I'll be bringing up during the conference in Italy, is how important it is to appeal to the younger generation to get this wisdom out to them at this point.
Absolutely. You're right. Yeah. You still didn't say anything I can disagree with.
Well, I'm really not trying very hard to do that.
Oh, well,
I don't think I could, Dr. Bob. I think we're too much on the same page here.
Well, but all of us have different karma to kind of work out here, and it's just that if you sense a bit of envy in my in my voice and thoughts here in regards to you're doing the kind of things that I would like to be doing.
Well, people like myself couldn't do what we do unless people like yourself had already, let's so to speak, set the table. You know, there was kind of an advanced crew that that started things off, and you were part of that. And I came along later on, but certainly couldn't do what I'm doing now if it hadn't been for you all.
Well, maybe so, but I hate to say this, and that is, you've been born many times in regards to whether or not, it's hard to determine one's karma, but let me just say that it seems to me that you have been on this path many, many lifetimes and set up this life. I don't want to embarrass you. Just tell me to shut up if I am. But it seems to me that over a period of millenniums, you have been focusing on the importance of this balance. And because of that, you have somehow come up with, in my opinion, a really good solution to setting this. You know, we need many solutions, but we need them all to work simultaneously in order us to get to the point where the divine feminine can be, in my opinion, empowered to work within us more freely and openly in our society, so we don't have to be secret. We don't have to hide things I used to get beat up in the 60s all the time when I would say something to the effect that, you know, I just wish the women were more in control of our government. That was seen back in the late 50s, early 60s as total blasphemy. I mean, it just seemed obviously that we needed to nurture and take care of our planet and each other rather than compete with each other. So
you're totally right on with that, Dr. Bob. And actually, a lot of my ideas about how we can create a more positive future will be coming out at the end of April, and this is the first time I'm even mentioning it on air, is my next book called World Gnosis, The Coming Gnostic Civilization will be coming out at that point, and I'll be describing how we can create a full-blown Gnostic civilization around the planet where everything we do, all the institutions, all the laws, are actually designed to support everybody in achieving Gnosis. I'll make sure you get a copy of that.
Please do, so you can join us to discuss that, because that the more information that we have in that kind of form to put out on the airwaves, the better it is. People love to know that they can't listen to you or me all the time, but when they have a book like that, they can share it with their friends and family who are never going to listen to radio in any way, you know what I mean?
Well, I'll definitely make sure that you get a copy yourself, Dr. Bob, and then we can talk some more. This has really been wonderful to have you on the show today.
It sure has.
And I think that we could probably easily talk another 5 hours if we wanted to. But unfortunately, our time is out, and we'll just have to do it again sometime in the near future. How does that sound?
That's fine. And so, of course, when your book comes out, get it to us right away, because I think the sooner we get that kind of information out on the air, so that other people that listen to our show, because our listening audience is probably as well as yours, is much more outside of our country than it is. That's what most people do not understand is that, my goodness, this is a world thing that's happening. It's not just an American thing that's happening.
Well, you're one of the first people on my list, so I'll make sure you get a copy, Dr. Bob.
Well, thank you very much.
And thank you so much for being on and sharing your wonderful wisdom with us. And we look forward to having you on again in the future.
Well, I would think that thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. I mean, it's really important to know that we have coworkers out there doing, even though we don't do exactly the same things, because that would kind of be boring. But the fact is that a multiple approach in coming together and unifying all of those groups that know the importance of self-transformation and the divine feminine, the better we're going to be as a planet, not just as a country, because we can,
I think America. We've come to the time of seeing the necessity of networking, and so I'm hoping that we can stay connected and stay in touch and work together to create a better planet.
Well, thank you for asking me. I'd appreciate that.
Okay.
And there was something I wanted to mention, but it just slipped my mind. Darn it.
Always email me if you'd like, Dr. Bob, at GnosticTemplars@AOL.com. That's the best one to use for me.
GnosticTemplars@AOL.com,
yeah.
.com. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bob. We'll talk to you soon, I hope.
Well,
and next week we have a man that was involved with the Montauk Project. He was one of the test subjects there. His name's Stuart Swerdlow, and he's naturally very psychic and clairvoyant. And he's going to talk about some of his adventures with the Montauk Project as well as how to awaken the other 9/10 of the brain that we're not normally using. Apparently, he's come across some formula, some practices that will enable us to do that. So going to be a very interesting show. You're not going to want to miss that. So in the meantime, have an incredible week, and always keep reminding yourself that the true Holy Grail is always right inside of you. Bye for now.